So he was right. I mean, that was the uniform of the day at industry events, unless you were Russ Sokola. Now, this legendary game journalist more or less derived the trade shows naked. Not literally, perhaps, but clad in jeans and a ratty shirt, he could touch the heart of even the stingiest public relations rep, and within 15 minutes he'd usually stacked enough game-related t-shirts, boxer shorts, socks, jackets, etc. onto his mule-like shopping cart to clothe a small army. More importantly, with regard to my own behavior, the discomfort created by having to wear even semi-formal attire proved sufficient to restrain my occasionally intemperate temper. But Arnie was like a rock. I swear on my mother that I have seen people unjustly insult this man to his face in the most inappropriate context imaginable. Invariably, my partner dwarfed whatever P. Brain was verbally assaulting him. But Arnie never used his size to intimidate a tormentor. Instead, he'd say something like, "I'm very sorry you feel that way." In a voice literally awash in apparent sincerity, he would simply not lower himself to the level of his antagonist, and I often wish that I could control my behavior half as well. So you can imagine my surprise that night at, I believe, the summer CES of 1983. We were at an Activision dinner where the basic program consisted of a few words from Diane Drosnis, Activision's first PR person, and an award which EG was presenting to the company for innovation and all the other things for which you laud good company. And Activision was a damn good company. President Jim Levy had come from the record industry where he had learned how to make hardware-software business work. In those days, the analogy heard most often was the razor and the razor blades. The game system was the razor, which could only be sold once, while the games were the blades and would continue to do business until the customer decided to move to a non-compatible razor. Atari, on the other hand, thought only Atari games should be played on Atari machines and became quite nasty when Jim Levy's vision was actually implemented. So Jim hired away the core, the creative core of Atari's first generation software magicians. It couldn't have been hard. All four of the original developers were going through the extremely disgruntled stage of their employment with Atari at the time, and Levy was making them an offer they couldn't refuse. Activision not only promised to give them game credit and a piece of the action, but planned to promote them as creative stars. It must have seemed like a dream come true for the quartet. And so Jim Levy brought the original four on board and created a company that gave legendary parties, produced legendary software, and turned out several of the most famous game creators in the business. Activision was obviously a company that was very close to our hearts at EG. Their arrival on the scene and their willingness to face down Atari allowed Arnie and I to launch our Arcade Alley review column for Video Magazine. Later, after the decision was made to launch EG, at least as a one-shot magazine, I was sent to the 1981 summer CES along with the video crew. I spent the entire show either serving booth duty, i.e. chatting up nerds, collecting business cards, and taking messages for people lucky enough to be elsewhere. A collection of tasks which elevate boredom to a form of intolerable torture. Or seeking out potential advertisers who would then be visited by our first-class sales honcho, Eric Yare. I wanted to take the industry's temperature, so to speak, and the fact was, it was pretty tepid. Of course, the only tool I had to help me sell this idea of a game magazine was a sheet of glossy paper featuring an early version of the first issue's cover with some sell sheet info on the back. It seemed incredibly puny to me, and obviously I wasn't the only one to draw that comparison. Atari, the company I expected to be the most interested in the game magazine idea, proved not only vaguely disinterested, but didn't even seem to understand why a consumer publisher would even produce a game-based magazine. Not that they were going to miss a chance to advertise in a publication aimed directly down the throats of its prime demographic. Atari always supported us in terms of advertising, PR, screenshots, beta versions of games, and anything else we wanted.